From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today, we're all about students in space. Okay, not the students themselves, but their brain children. For the naturally curious child, there are opportunities to create, pitch, design, and build a science experiment that will fly on the International Space Station. Later in the show, we'll trace the history of student space projects. But first, students from Bearden Middle School were at Cape Canaveral, Florida over the weekend to watch their science experiment blast off. Their project was one of just 21 to be picked from nearly 3,000 competing proposals submitted by schools in the U.S. and Canada. WUOT's Megan Jamerson reports.
3, 2, 1, 0.
A video taken by Bearden Middle School teacher Kayla Canario shows the cheers of her students who traveled to Cape Canaveral, Florida to see their science experiment rocketed into space.
Because not many people get to do this. It's like, whoa, I'm at a space center watching an experiment I helped make get launched. Like, that's pretty dang cool.
That's 8th grader Riley Spees, as recorded by one of her classmates. Spees says it was about a year ago that the 10 students who made up the after-school program started asking themselves what kind of problems astronauts face in space.
I found this magazine. It was like problems in space, and a lot of them was medical problems. So we started working on that, and then we saw a study from the Russian space station in the 1990s, and there was a pink eye outbreak.
8th grader Jack Lathrop says it's important to consider the effectiveness of medical treatments on space missions. That could be the key to making long-term space travel more realistic.
When you colonize Mars, it will be 8 months in a spacecraft, and what happens if you get sick on that spacecraft? When zero gravity, or in this case microgravity, will the effects of the medicine be the same as they are on Earth?
Coming up with the questions was the easy part. Transforming that into a practical experiment package was harder. Teacher Kayla Canario explains her students came into the program knowing the scientific method. The rest needed to be learned. Stuff like how to write a proposal, design an experiment for microgravity, what kinds of materials were needed, and how to get them.
We had to, you know, find somebody who was willing to culture staff for us. We had to find a drug rep who was willing to donate the drug to us to use. We had to find a biology lab who was willing to help us, you know, prepare the experiment and everything.
University of Tennessee microbiology professor Gary LeClaire provided the pink eye bacteria and assisted the students in designing the experiment. Canario says the experience of manipulating bacteria on Earth, learning how they grow, and looking at samples under expensive microscopes was invaluable.
I think that was a pivotal turning point for them, where they really realized, like, hey, we're actually doing this. We're actually going to real world science, and then send it to space and get real world results.
And through this, Canario has seen a change in her students' perspective.
I think that an opportunity like this really gets the kids into a different mindset of failing forward and really understanding that doing something and failing, and then you learn from it and you build upon it, and that gets you to a different place instead of discouraging you.
8th grader Elise Kirsch says the mini lab they created is made up of small test tubes divided into 3 sections by clips. The sections hold the pink eye bacteria,
the Staphylococcus epidermis,
nutrients to keep them alive for the duration of the project,
the agar,
the antibiotic the students are testing,
and the xylit, which is the solution.
The experiment timeline is flexible around the crew's schedule, so the students don't know exactly when they will get those results. Once they do, the students will recreate the experiment timeline here on Earth as a control and compare the findings. For The Method, I'm Megan Jamerson.
Well, that was a really cool story, and now I'm joined in the studio by our reporter, Megan Jamerson. Megan, good to check in with you post-launch.
Yes, good to be here, Brandon.
Yes. Well, we covered what the students, a little bit about what they're trying to investigate, but I wanted to be more specific about that. What is it the students hope to learn from this pink eye experiment?
Sure. The main question that they're trying to answer is whether or not antibiotics used to treat pink eye work the same way in space as they would here on Earth.
And as we mentioned, this is important because when you're in space and you're in a cramped environment with six or seven other people, it might be very easy for a disease to spread from person to person.
Exactly, because you're working in tight quarters on the International Space Station. You can't exactly quarantine people as easily.
Right. And I understand the students from Bearden that we just heard from are already working on a follow-up experiment for a future mission.
Yes, that's right. So this was Mission 9 that was just launched. And for Mission 11, they're sending in a proposal to study a second type of antibiotic that's used to treat pink eye.
All right, Megan, another great report. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Science projects that are created, designed, or built by students aren't unique to the International Space Station. In fact, they go back more than 40 years. In the late 1960s, NASA began building an experimental space station called Skylab, as described in this extremely 60s promotional film.
The primary objective of Skylab is to conduct scientific investigations in the areas of biomedical science, solar physics, earth resources, crew operations, astrophysics, and space technology.
Skylab hosted three astronaut crews on missions ranging from 28 to 84 days. Most of the astronauts' time was consumed by experiments conceived and built by professionals, university professors, government scientists, engineers, and doctors. But for the first time in NASA's history, the choice was made to include student experiments in the workload. The space agency put out the call to high school and college students. They got 3,400 proposals. From that pool, 19 experiments were actually designed, built, and selected to fly. Perhaps the most famous of the Skylab student experiments involved two spiders named Anita and Arabella, as mentioned in this extremely 70s promotional film.
This was an experiment to find out the structure of the web they would spin in the weightless state. They soon adapted to space and spun a web quite easily. There was a problem, though, when they ran out of food for the spiders. They shared bits of filet mignon with them. Oh, for the life of a spider in space.
The Skylab program ended with a whimper in early 1974, and with nowhere to go, the student experiment program faded too. It wasn't until the early space shuttle flights in 1981 and 82 that student science experiments were again included in NASA missions, as heard in this extremely 80s promotional film.
After proving its flight readiness on Flight 3, the Getaway Special was fitted with 10 experiments built by science students from Utah State University and flown on Flight 4.
The latest step in the evolution of student space projects came in 2010, when a coalition of science education groups created the Student Space Flight Experiment Program. Those projects flew on the final space shuttle missions and continue today on the International Space Station.